Genation Radio. And here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am your host, Brandon Dowling, alongside with, of course, your host, Joe Blewett. So much to talk about as the time has come. We have been waiting patiently. We've sat through the NBA playoffs. We sat through the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've sat through the summer of Major League Baseball. And now it is time. Football is officially back on the field. The Jets get ready to take on the Colts in their first preseason game. Even though it's practice, everybody's pumped up. Everybody's excited to go. We're all headed to the game on Thursday night. How could you not? Football is back, and with that being said, Joe, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing good, Brandon. I'm really excited for the game on Thursday. Can't wait.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much to be excited about. There's so many mini stories inside what is the New York Jets right now. You have the quarterback situation. You know, personally, again, I've gone on the record to say this a lot. I don't think it's a situation, but the media does. I think Geno Smith is the clear-cut guy. This is Geno Smith's team, unless Geno Smith really decides to screw it up to the point where they can't put him on the field. You got mini stories like that all over the place. You know, Jason Morrow, how's he going to look in a real game? How is the secondary going to look? How is Dee Milliner going to look? He's coming out and making bold statements and talking trash that he's the best in the biz, and we're waiting to see what he does on the field. You know, what's the running back situation going to shape up to be? Is Chris Johnson going to come out and bust one for 90 yards in his first carry? I mean, there's so many questions, so many unanswered for the Jets right now. Going into this preseason game, you know, my biggest thing, what to watch, the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. All eyes are going to be on Geno Smith to start this game. How did he progress in the offseason? What did he do to get himself better? Does he look better? You know, Geno Smith right now obviously is the guy for the Jets. Are people going to start booing him right off the bat? Because you know, sitting in a crowd of 70,000 at MetLife Stadium, if he throws an incomplete pass to start the game, the boo birds will be out right off the bat. The patience for Jets fans is zero right now. Regardless of if you believe that's, you know, fair or not, it doesn't matter. Everybody wants results. We're waiting to see if Geno Smith is ready to bring those results. And that's my biggest thing to watch for this game coming up on Thursday. Is Geno Smith going to show progress this early, or are we going to wait and have to see? What do you think, Joe?
I think it's going to take a little bit of time to develop a chemistry with the receivers, even though he's been with them in camp for a while. You know, you have to develop the chemistry within the games. The biggest story that I look forward to, the biggest position battle, is definitely the receivers and the corners. I can't wait to see who makes the team, who steps up, who disappoints. I want to see if Jason Morrow steps up. I personally think that all the stuff going around about Jason Morrow being a bust is absolutely ridiculous. You have to give the guy some time. He's a rookie tight end. He played in a spread offense at Texas Tech. He's not used to this kind of system. You have to give him time. I think that a lot of Jets fans, their expectations for the rookies are unrealistic, and I want to see how much they can produce and step up.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Jason Morrow stuff is ridiculous as well. I think you have to give this guy some time. You have to wait and see what's going to happen. I mean, outside of on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, Joe, what are you looking for there?
Defensive side of the ball, I want to see the corners. I want to see I've heard a lot this summer, and especially the last week or two, about how much DeMario Davis is becoming a leader and how much he's improved. And I think it was Rich Samini who actually said that he could have, or no, I think it is Mike Westhoff actually. He said that he was probably one of the best linebackers at any camp in the NFL, which might be blowing a little bit of steam there. But I think that DeMario Davis is going to take a big step up this year, and I think that he's getting ready to replace David Harrison, not this year, or maybe not even the year after that, but in the next coming years as our number one middle linebacker. So I'm really excited to see DeMario Davis.
Oh, that's going to be another, you know, that's another thing that we're all looking for. That's another thing that we're all, you know, all eyes are to see how the linebacking core is going to develop. I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, the Jets have so many, and they always do, every single year. I think even more than any other team, the stories along this team, you know, the question marks are there. It's just a matter of, you know, what you're going to expect and what's actually going to happen, you know. And the first thing, you know you keep harping on it because it's the quarterback, but it's Geno Smith. This team is going to live in, any team in the NFL will live and die on the quarterback position. You cannot win, and you cannot win in the playoffs. You cannot get to the playoffs with mediocre quarterback play. The only way to succeed in this league and to win championships is going to be with a quarterback that can be successful. Now, I want to introduce someone who I've been speaking to for a long time, coming back onto my show, the Brandon Downing Show on iRadio LA. You know, we're bringing him on here on Jet Nation Radio. He is the beat reporter for WFAN and probably one of the biggest Ranger fans I know, so I can't wait to talk to him about that. Chris Lopresti from FAN. Chris, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Brandon. What's going on, man?
What's going on? It's been a long time, Chris, so first, do you want to start off with Lundqvist, the coach? What do you want to start with?
Hey, man, it's been a long off season, even though it's actually a shorter off season than the Rangers are used to. But that's the case when you have kind of a heartbreaking loss at the end there. But the Jets are keeping me busy, so I'm sure I'm going to blink my eyes, and before we know it, it's going to be opening night. So it'll be nice to have hockey back.
Oh, there you go, Chris. You know I had to do. You know I had to bring something up there. I couldn't let you slide at all. Going down.
I understand.
So, Chris, you've been there. You've been seeing everything with the Jets right now. You've been at Cortland for the past couple of weeks. You know, the first thing I want to ask you, kind of a general question. What is the biggest thing that stood out to you so far? If not the biggest player that stood out to you so far in being at Jets camp.
Well, I think in general the biggest thing that stood out, and it was probably more towards the end of these first couple of weeks, is that I think the defense, and specifically up front, is going to pick up right where they left off last year. And it's not really a knock on the offense. I know people were a little concerned they weren't able to get into the end zone in the green and white scrimmage the other night, but that front seven, specifically the defensive line, I mean, it's a well-oiled machine, and they spent a lot of time in the backfield, both against the run and rushing the quarterback. They did get to Geno and Michael Vick a little bit in that scrimmage, actually a couple times even off the edge with some blitzers. So I think the defense is a little ahead of the offense right now, which is kind of what you expect this time of year. I mean, the defense is going up against the same plays, the same personnel groups, the same system every day, so I think they kind of know what to expect, and the offense isn't really game planning for the defense specifically, but if they can get any kind of improved secondary play over what we saw last year, I think with that defensive line, and I think what's going to be just in general a really strong front seven, that's going to be a very dangerous unit. And I think kind of going back to what we expect from a Rex Ryan team is having a dominant defense, finding a way to put some points on the board, running the ball, and when you can, making some plays in the air. So if Geno Smith, Michael Vick, whoever it is at quarterback, if they can take care of the football and rely on that running game and make some plays in the passing game, I think they're going to be in good shape because the defense should be quite strong.
Hey, Chris, it's Joe. Just to follow up on Brandon's question, I actually wanted to reverse it a little bit and ask you who or what has been the most unimpressive person or thing about the Jets this offseason so far.
Well, it's probably a couple different ways you could go. Just for me, from watching camp, I think the rookie wide receivers have been a bit of a letdown. I mean, from injuries to ineffectiveness, I think it's been a combination of both. I really liked what I saw from Jalen Saunders going back to minicamp, and I think the fact that we've gotten to training camp, they put the pads on, and he's kind of gone quiet a little bit. I think that's probably something we should have expected. He's a smaller player who certainly relies on the shiftiness and his speed, and I think it's an adjustment for him right now, not just learning a new offense, but fitting in and going up against a very tough defense. And as things start to get more physical, I think that's a part of his game that's going to have to evolve over time. The other two guys, I haven't really been able to get on the field a whole lot. I mean, Quincy Enunwa started with a hip injury early on in camp, so we haven't really gotten to see a whole lot of him. He's playing catch-up now. Shaq Evans was playing catch-up to begin with. He missed rookie camp in OTAs because he was finishing up at school.
at UCLA. So he had a rough mini camp and then got off to a rough start in training camp. A lot of drops, some mental mistakes, running the wrong routes, and now he's got this shoulder injury that Rex Ryan said today is pretty severe, and it might land him on season-ending IR. So those three wide receivers that they drafted in the middle to the late rounds, hoping to add some depth to that group, haven't exactly got themselves off to a good start. So that's a little bit concerning. But there have been some other guys at that position that have stepped up. I think Stephen Hill's had a nice camp. Whether or not that translates to the regular season remains to be seen. And the other guy that I think has opened some eyes is Greg Salas, who was solid for the Jets in the time he was with them last year, but he's had a really strong camp. We're only 2 weeks in. There haven't been any preseason games yet, but I think he's definitely making a push, an early push, to try and be a part of this final 53-man roster.
Yeah, you know, Chris, it's a shame, really, what happened to Shaq Evans. You're hearing today that he, you know, might be done for the year, and that's definitely not a way you want to start your NFL career, having a season-ending injury. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, Chris, the biggest question is, and the biggest thing that everybody wants to talk about, is the quarterback position. You're going to live and you're going to die in the NFL with your quarterback position, and the Jets have seen it, you know, be subpar, to say the least, over the past few years at the quarterback position. Going into this camp, Geno Smith was supposedly, you know, going to make the big transition. This is going to be his team. He's the guy. Mark Sanchez is not here anymore. They bring in Michael Vick for, you know, whatever reason you want to say. I don't think that they brought him in here to actually be a starter. I think there's as a stopgap guy and also to push Geno Smith. Are you seeing, you covered the Jets last year at their camp. Now you're here again this year. Are you seeing progressions with your own eyes in Geno Smith, or do you think it's still too early to be seen to be saying that he's made any type of progress?
Oh, I think if you take, you know, where he was a year ago compared to now, there's definitely been progress. And I'm not even talking about, you know, physically the way he's throwing the football. I'm talking about his confidence, the way he's carrying himself, you know, the way he's leading the offense, the way he's talking to guys and getting them lined up in the right spots. You can tell the game has slowed down for him because he's more comfortable, not just within the organization and, you know, with his teammates and with his responsibilities, but with Marty Morningwake's system. I think it's really important that they have some continuity there, and that not just for Geno, but some of the other young players to be in the same system in year two, they can kind of hit the ground running a little bit more. In terms of his performance in camp so far, I thought he got up to a really nice start. I think he's evened out a little bit over the course of the last week or so, but that really goes for the offense in general. I don't think that's just on Geno. They're getting their plays installed, so that's a process. We've talked about the fact that they go up against a very tough defense, so there's sort of a lot of moving parts at the moment. That's why I'm really anxious to get to Thursday night's game and watch them go up against, you know, someone else for a change instead of having to watch them go up against that Jet defense day in and day out. But I definitely think Geno has made some strides here. Whether or not that translates to, you know, much bigger success on the field, I'm not 100% sure yet, but I am pretty confident in saying I certainly don't think you can expect another season where he's going to throw 12 touchdowns against 21 interceptions. I expect him to clean that up. I expect him to make some more big plays down the field in the passing game. They've certainly added some weapons that on paper should help them out. So unless he really, really flops and falls on his face in the preseason here, I expect him to be the guy to start the season. And if the Jets can tread some water with a very tough early schedule, I do expect them to be in the playoff hunt as we come down the stretch of the regular season. But that's obviously a long way off right now.
Right. Now, but you're also looking at Geno Smith here, and you're saying that his confidence is up, which is a very big – I would hope so, obviously, first off, coming from a rookie to a second-year guy who starred in the NFL last year. But – what are your expectations for him going into this first game? I mean, like I was saying earlier in the show here, right off the bat, Jets fans, you know, pull a Craig Carton here. Jets fans like myself, okay, they have no patience. They don't. Like I said, if Geno Smith comes out and goes 2 for 10 on Thursday night, the Boo Birds are going to be out. So They must have some type of sense of urgency to get Geno Smith off to a good start, even if it's a preseason game, where they have to be able to show that, you know, he's going to be the guy for this team right off the bat. So what are your expectations for Geno for this first game, if any?
I do think it's important for him to get off to a good start. You know, I don't know how quick the fans are going to be to turn on him. I think we saw that happen with Mark Sanchez the last couple of years because of the disappointment that and the wrong turn that his career took after such a great start. With Geno, I think, And one thing I'm finding is that, you know, a lot of the Jets fan base, yes, there are some impatient people, but I know there's a lot of people out there that want to see this team set up to be a long-term winner. So if I'm a fan and I'm looking at it that way, you know, I have to expect that even a second-year quarterback is going to have some ups and downs. But, yeah, I want to see progress. You know, you want to see him go out there and establish a rhythm with the offense in the quarter that he's going to play on Thursday night. You know, going back to the green and white scrimmage the other night, people were saying, well, the offense didn't get into the end zone. That's true, but, you know, it's not like Geno went out there and couldn't complete any passes. I mean, they did move the ball a little bit. He hit Stephen Hill for a big pass. So I expect him to go out there and make some plays Thursday night against the Colts. You know, I really wouldn't expect it to be a, you know, a 2-for-10 or a dreadful performance where he's pulling a Mark Sanchez and throwing an interception on a screen pass on his first play of the game. So, you know, we saw him play terrible in that Giants game last year, that third preseason game, which was just a disaster from top to bottom for the entire team. I think that Marty Morningweg at this point knows how to play to Geno's strengths. I'm sure he knows which parts of the offense he's more comfortable with. It's still going to be very vanilla. They're still installing their offense. They're not going to show all their cards here on Thursday night. So I think it's going to be simple and straightforward. Probably some quick passes to get him in a rhythm early. I'm sure they'll look to go to the running game. You want to see Chris Johnson. You want to see Chris Ivory. You really want to get a sense for all of these added weapons that they have. So I think that there's plenty of reason to be optimistic heading into this first preseason game.
Okay, and to dig a little bit deeper into the QB depth chart, I was wondering what you thought about Taj Boyd and Matt Sims, because in the beginning when we drafted Taj Boyd, a lot of Jets fans were saying, you know, he went to Clemson with Rex Ryan's son. He basically has a golden ticket to make the team, but from what I've heard and what I've seen, Taj Boyd has been extremely unimpressive. I was wondering what you expected from Taj Boyd and Matt Sims in the preseason, and I want I wonder if I can get your final prediction on who actually makes the team, because I don't believe that they'll be carrying four quarterbacks.
I don't think they'll be carrying four, and to be honest with you, after what I've seen through 2 weeks, and admittedly that's very early. We still have a long way to go. If things don't get turned around, I won't be surprised if they carry two quarterbacks. That's kind of where we're at. I think it's been a really rough start for Boyd and for Matt Sims. You know, they're kind of working at a disadvantage because they're not getting a lot of reps. The Jets understand they need to get Geno Smith as many reps as possible, and at the same time, appease a 34-year-old established veteran in Michael Vick. So it's just not a lot of work to go around for Sims and Boyd. They're in there with the third team, behind the third team offensive line, which has had some struggles protecting both guys. Boyd has turned it over a lot. He looks very confused right now. His head's kind of spinning a little bit, trying to figure things out. So it's been a rough start, but, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment on both guys this early in the game. We're still, you know, a month away from the season opener, and we got four preseason games to go, and both guys are going to get plenty of work in sort of mop-up time in these preseason games. But if you ask me today, on August 5th, I know the Jets have some tough decisions at some other positions as we're looking at the potential final roster. So if it were me, and I have Geno Smith, who I think is a pretty strong, durable guy. Michael Vick has certainly had his injury concerns over the course of his career, but a much more established and capable backup quarterback than the Jets have had in years past. So if it were me right now on August 5th and I'm trying to nail down that final roster, I think you might see Sims released, cut, and them attempt to get Taj Boyd onto the practice squad. But we'll see how that plays out.
Now, Chris, I have an interesting question for you. Spice it up a little bit. You're on the preseason, the third Thursday night, they're probably going to pull video of the offensive line. They're going to watch video, see how their techniques and everything is, right?
Yeah, after the fact, they'll certainly do a film review after the game, yes.
Right. So what do you think is going to look more impressive, the line review from the offensive line or the video I can't stop watching of you and Boomer in the studio practicing the hockey sports?
Well, I don't know that that was really practice. That was basically just Boomer pinning me up against a wall and showing that he outweighs me by about 100 pounds. So, and I was legitimately trying to get out of the way there, and I couldn't even budge. So that's what happens when you got, you know, 6'5", 250, 260 up against 5'7", 175. It doesn't end well for the smaller guy, and I think that was certainly put on display that day.
Well, Chris, you made my morning commute that day so much better. I have to thank you for that.
That's what it's all about, man. Morning radio. You got to get people to work and get them there with a smile on their face.
Well, you do a great job. Chris, I want to thank you for coming on and joining us and giving your take, and I look to hear from you later on in the preseason and hopefully before we start the season.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
That was Chris Lopresti from WFAN. He is the lead beat reporter for FAN, covering all things Jets, and always does a great job. You know, Chris is one of the top guys out there. You know, if you want to go check him out, see Lopresti. You know, I love listening to his take. And Joe, I had to throw in the Boomer video there. It had to happen.
I actually didn't see that. I'm going to have to look that up after the show.
It's great when they're talking about the Rangers and battling back, and you know, and Boomer makes him get up, and he throws him in the corner. He shows how you box against the boards and push people off. That's one of the highlights from Boomer and Carton so far, and I've been watching since they started back in 07. But let's go to the phone lines. Glenn is on the line. Thanks for holding, Glenn. Glenn wants to talk rookies. Go for it.
Hey, how are we doing tonight, guys?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good, thanks. Quick question. Not sure if you guys are hearing anything out of camp. I know a couple of interesting draft picks that I think the front office had visions of them stepping up next year, taking on bigger roles, that I haven't really heard their names since draft day. Jeremiah George, linebacker out of Iowa State, haven't heard his name mentioned once. Same goes for Trevor Riley, the late pick, the seventh rounder out of Utah. I believe it's their last pick, the older guy who was on the Mormon mission, so he's older than most rookies in camp. But those are two guys that I expected to hear a little bit about, and as much as we're hearing about the defense, those are two names that have been completely off the radar.
Yeah, I actually haven't heard anything but from them guys either, Glenn. But a guy I have heard about who was actually mentioned by Sheldon Richardson was Brandon Dixon. He said that he's been playing very well. He's been stepping up. He said that he didn't look very impressive in the beginning of camp, but he said he's stepping up. So Brandon Dixon's the guy I'm watching out for. I heard a little bit about Jeremiah George on special teams, that he's been stepping up in special teams. But to be completely honest, I don't think that Trevor Riley is going to make the team. I don't expect George to make the team as of now. I've been looking at the final roster predictions the last couple of days, and I just can't find a way that either of those guys get on the roster. And that goes along with IK, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, and make a poll here, however you pronounce that.
Right.
But a lot of the rookies on the bottom that we drafted in the later rounds, I don't even expect them to make a roster. I think that we have so many players that we need to fit in, like guys who I've been hearing a lot about, like Darrell Richardson I've been hearing a lot about. I've been hearing a lot about a guy like Rontez Miles. Rex Ryan says that he plays like a Jet. He plays 100%. I think that he makes the team. And actually, a question I want to ask you is, how many safeties do you think we end up carrying, and who do you expect to make the roster?
Well, based on what the reports that are coming out of camp, especially the last few days, Rontez Miles, Jarrett, a lot of the young safeties are getting a lot of positive press, and it's a good question because the Jets in the past, they've gone with some pretty weak safeties. You know, Eric Smith wasn't all that great, but the Jets still managed to win with him. Now, obviously, it helped that you had Cromartie and Revis at the top of their game back there with him, but it was never a big priority, and I think that's why a lot of people were surprised when the Jets took Pryor in the first round this year. So you got Pryor back there, you got Jarrett back there, you got Rontez Miles back there. All those guys are getting plenty of press. We know that, you know, Allen played great at times last year as a young guy and a late pick, and the Jets really hope he'll step up. Of course, DeJuan Landry, the veteran, bringing that sort of calming presence back there because there is so much youth. But I think it's going to be a tough call. You know, as much as Rex gushes about his guys, when he was asked about Landry early in camp, he kind of alluded to the fact that he is that presence, but he's a veteran leader, and he's going to bring these guys along. So is he going to make the roster with all this youth around him, that, you know, these young, fast guys that are competing? I think it's going to depend on who steps up and who takes on that leadership role. If one of these other young guys does, that safety has become one of the more interesting positions in camp, because you can lump it in there right now with guard and corner. You know, there's probably 5-6 guys who are getting a lot of positive press, but are they going to carry that many safeties? So obviously Pryor makes the roster, Allen's going to make the roster. Josh Bush, I think he's a bubble guy. I think if anyone goes, it'll be him. Only, you know, based only on the fact that I haven't seen his name mentioned a lot. And I know they carried Miles last year, even though he didn't play a ton. I think anytime you see a team hold on to a guy that virtually doesn't see the field, there's something there that they like about him. So they kept Miles last year. Obviously, they kept Bush too. But if I have to pick four or five guys, I'm going to say you're going to have Pryor, you're going to have Allen. He's probably the most athletic of the bunch in terms of the most experienced of the athletic guys. Rontez, Miles, and Jarrett. And then it's going to come down between, I mean, Landry. I think Landry's got to make it because of the experience. So I think he makes it, and it's going to come down to Bush, Miles, and Jarrett. I think one of those guys gets cut, and the others make it. But it's nice for a difference to hear about the Jets having some strong competition at safety rather than some of the pedestrian play they've had over the last few years.
I completely agree with you, Glenn. I think that Josh Bush is on the outside looking in. I think that we carry four safeties. I think that Rontez Miles and Jaquan Jarrett are battling for a spot, even though I do think that Jaquan Jarrett does definitely have the lead on him as of right now from what I'm hearing. But it's definitely interesting. We have competition at safety, which we haven't had a good safety, in my opinion. Well, Laurent Landry is pretty good, but we haven't had a good safety since really Kerry Rhodes, and a lot of Jets fans had a problem with him because he just sat in the middle of the field and just sat back and just waited for the play to happen.
Exactly. And even when we had Landry, he was a one-year guy. You know, we haven't had that steady, consistent, reliable force back there that obviously they're hoping Pryor can become. You know, even with the other Landry back there now, he's a steady guy. He doesn't do anything great, but he's also not going to kill you. So you got to have some of those guys on your roster, too. Not everybody's going to be a superstar. You need those guys to just come to work, do their job, and, you know, he's not going to be one of the guys that beats himself. So he's a good presence back there.
Yeah, definitely,
I definitely agree with you, Glenn. You call in just about, I've only been here for 2 weeks, but you call in every week. You seem like a very passionate fan, and we hope to hear from you next week. Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. Great job. Keep it up.
All right, thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Let's go to Tom, who is holding on the line, who wants to talk about the offense. Go ahead, Tom. You're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Doing
how are you?
Fun. Good. I was just wondering if you guys were any worried that our offense couldn't score. I mean, obviously our defense is very good, but I was just wondering what you thought about that.
You know, I mean, I think that it's a common problem for the Jets. It really is. It's a year in and year out. You don't know what you're going to get on offense. The day the Jets are going to be successful on offense is the day their quarterback goes from not playing, not to lose, and being mediocre and average, is to stepping up to being a top 15 quarterback in this league. I think you look the way the league has transpired, the way the league is going, you cannot win with mediocre play at your quarterback. You can't do it. It's a matter of, you know, if you want to make it to the playoffs, if you eventually want to be a Super Bowl team, I want you to tell me a Super Bowl team in recent years that their quarterback has been mediocre. It's not there.
Seattle. I think Russell Wilson is not mediocre.
Russell Wilson's playoff numbers are insane.
They have a great defense, an awesome running game, and Russell Wilson.
Tom, let me ask you a question. Russell Wilson's touchdown pass against the 49ers to take the lead in the end of the NFC Championship game. Is Geno Smith making that pass this year for the Jets?
I mean, he could. I'm not saying that he can't because I want him to.
That's not a mediocre quarterback. Russell, if you're the Jets right now, and if you can get Russell Wilson-type play out of Geno Smith, you're looking at an 11-game winner. Absolutely. Russell Wilson played fantastic last year, and Russell Wilson is in a scheme where he's playing his game. He's not playing not to lose. He's not a subpar quarterback. His ratings and his touchdown passes and his clutch play is what ultimately got Seattle to the Super Bowl. Without him in the NFC Championship game, they weren't going anywhere. Geno Smith right now doesn't have my confidence to make touchdown passes with 2 minutes left in the quarter to take your team to the Super Bowl. That's not mediocre. That's being a champion.
Okay, Don, and to go back to the questions of Brandon Lindell, Russell Wilson, and all that stuff on us, I don't think that it's a problem. You know, we have a more experienced defense. We don't have a lot of new guys on the defense as we did last year. You know, we have a whole bunch of returning starters from last year. With the offense, you know, we have Jason Morrow. We have Zach Sudfield in his second year, so he's still learning. We have Chris Johnson. We have a whole bunch of guys who are still learning the system and still seeing where they fit in this offense. So to be completely honest, I'm not worried about it. I expected the offense to be slower than the defense. We have one of the top defenses in the league, at least in my opinion. This year we will be at least the top 10 defense. So I expected it, and I would have been shocked if we did, you know, produce. It's not like we didn't move the ball like Chris said before when we had him on. It's not like we didn't move the ball. We had a few nice plays. We didn't score, but you know that's the kinks we're working out. I don't expect us to come out on Thursday and not score. If we do, I'll be disappointed. But I know you pay attention to the running back situation, so I want to ask you if you thought that Dale Richardson is going to make the team, because I know you love Chris Johnson. I know you're a big fan of Ivory, and I definitely know you love Powell. So I was wondering if you thought that Dale Richardson was going to make the team this year.
Well, honestly, if you think about it, do we need more than three running backs? Even if one of our running backs goes down, we still have two more. And those two are very, very reliable, no matter who they are. You got Chris Johnson, who gets 1,000 yards a season easy with Tennessee, who they don't have anybody to throw the ball to, really. It was just him. And then Chris Ivory is just a beast. So I don't think we're going to really need him, per se, because we have three that are solid. Why would we waste another spot on our, I don't want to say waste, but why would we give away another spot to someone else when we don't really need that position?
See, I think that it's a strong possibility that we actually do keep him. I've heard a lot about him, that he's doing very well in camp, he's producing. And the reason I think that we should keep him is because I know Chris Johnson hasn't been injured, but he has a lot of miles on his on the tires there. Chris Ivory gets hurt. And say if we're very unfortunate, I hope it doesn't happen, and it probably won't happen, but what happens if Chris Ivory and Chris Johnson go down? You know, I think I want a fourth running back. I think that maybe what Chris said before happened, maybe we don't carry Matt Sims and Tosh Boyd, so maybe we do carry an extra running back. And Brandon, I want to know what you thought about that.
You know, I think they're going to carry a third quarterback. I don't really think anybody in the league is to the point where they're not going to have a third string guy. They might get rid of both Boyd and Sims and bring in another veteran guy who knows the direction they'll go and down that road. I really think that you have to have depth at your running back position because of injuries, especially when you're the Jets right now. Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory are both injury-prone players, so you don't know what direction they're going to go in with their health. You know, Chris Johnson's coming off the worst year of his career, and he's coming off an injury. Chris Ivory is another guy who's an injury-ridden running back in this league. So, it comes down to that. Yeah, you have to take into consideration the age at the running back position for the Jets. You have to take into consideration the injury-prone. I really like Bilal Powell. I think, you know, Powell can do great things in this running game. I think he's going to be almost a juggernaut, quote-unquote, for this running game. I think that he has to be, you know, that guy who you're going to say, all right, if one of these guys go down, who's taking the workload? I think it's going to be Powell. I do. I think he's a good running back, and I think he can produce. And Tom, I want to thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
All right. That was Tom joining us here on Jet Nation Radio talking about running backs. You know, Joe, it's just – I don't want to say I have a sensitive side towards Russell Wilson, but I don't like when the Jet fan banks off of mediocre play and they turn to, well, Seattle won the Super Bowl with Russell Wilson, because that dude can play quarterback. He really can. I'm taking a line out of Joe Namath's book right there, but he can play quarterback. So that's why, you know, I just think that the Jets, when the Jets make that leap into being a team that is forced to be reckoned with, it's going to be when their quarterback is above, you know, an average quarterback. The Jets, in order to be successful in the NFL, I believe you have to have an above-average quarterback. Let's go to Jeff, who wants to talk about defensive backs. Jeff, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Thanks for holding,
Jeff.
No problem.
I just want to talk a little bit about the secondary. I don't think there's any doubt
that the secondary, specifically the cornerback situation, is kind of the weak point on this team. I think it'll be interesting to see if Rex keeps six cornerbacks or seven corners, and whether he keeps four or five safeties. You guys talked a little about the safeties before. I think Landry, Pryor, Allen, and Jarrett are definitely going to make the roster. Miles is kind of a guy who needs to perform well in the preseason to get that fifth spot. But in terms of corners, at the bottom of the depth chart, you kind of got Walls, Langster, and I really don't know who's after that. I mean, Dixon, you guys mentioned he was doing some good things, Razai Dowling. But it seems like corner is such a weak position that with the whole competition mantra that Idzik is preaching, that you'd want to keep a good seven corners to kind of compete with each other because no one's really stepping up right now.
Well, Jeff, you'd want to go out and sign some corner help, no?
Yeah, I mean, you would definitely sign corners if you could, but, you know, there's really no one out there, and it's kind of too late.
Oh, not anymore.
I mean,
they're all gone.
Exactly. It's too late to pick up any, and I really don't know who you could trade for, so they're kind of stuck with the guys that they have, so they really need someone to step up. I mean, D. Milliner is a question. Dimitri's have had a couple bad practices, and I kind of like how Rex kind of picked on him during the press conference today. Maybe he'll step up. Wilson's kind of a slot guy, and, you know, McDougal's injured, so you need more competition, I think. I think you need to keep six or seven corners at least.
Jeff, everybody knows my stance on the cornerback situation because I've been praised for it and I've been ridiculed for it. I think the Jets cornerback situation coming into this year is the biggest question mark we've seen on a Jets team in a long time. You have no idea what's going to happen. D. Milliner is coming out and telling the Daily News he's the best cornerback in the NFL. That's ridiculous. You're looking at this team right now. Who is going to step up? Who is going to be an above-average corner? The Jet fan, if you're a Jet fan right now, you better go to sleep at night. You better look out your window, and you better look up in those stars, and you better pray that D. Milliner plays like he did at the end of last year. Because if D. Milliner plays like he did in the beginning of last year and struggles, who is your plan B? There's nobody. You're talking about, you were talking about McDougal. You're talking about Wilson. You're talking about Dimitri Patterson. I mean, these guys are not guys who are going to be able to step up and lead this team in the secondary. It's D. Milliner or bust for the secondary right now. That, to me, is a disaster. I believe it. You know, could I be wrong? Absolutely. They could come out, D. Milliner could play like the second coming of Darrell Revis, you know, and Dimitri Patterson could be healthy and shut down the other side, and we might not even be having this conversation a month or two from now. But as we sit here right now, we're looking at the biggest question mark on the Jets, I would say in the past couple years, is how far their cornerback position has been depleted. They didn't do anything this offseason to improve it. If you want to tell me drafting an injury-prone third-round corner out of Maryland is, you know, the big step up in your cornerback game, I don't believe it. So to answer your question, I agree with you. The question marks are there. It's just a matter of we just have to sit back and wait and see. There's no other options. Like I said, it's D. Milliner or bust for the Jets secondary right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. That's your point on. I just want to see if they keep, you know, an extra corner there to help compete. You know, there's also Jeremy Reeves, who I think has had a good camp, they said. But, yeah, there's not a lot of talent there. I mean, the one guy who maybe could step up is McDougal when he comes back off the injury. But, really, it's kind of, you know, a difficult position there. I mean, Patterson doesn't seem like he's all that good, and, you know, God forbid D. Milliner gets hurt or something like that. Yeah, then you start with Kyle
Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bad situation.
I have to disagree with you guys. I know it's a question mark, but I definitely, there's no way I think it's as big of a question mark as we had in a couple of years. You know, last year, is Landry going to step up and be a good safety? Is Allen going to play well with him? We didn't have any safeties last year. How does the offensive line look last year? We have a lot less questions this year. And I don't think our corners have to be as good as you think they have to be when you have a front seven that's going to be, and I'll put it out there, I think they're going to be dominant again, including the linebackers. I think DeMario Davis is really going to step up this year along with, you know, a guy that we haven't even talked about so far. We have Jason Babin in there. We have Antoine Barnes when he comes back from injury. Our safeties look really good this year, so I don't think our corners have to play as good as you think they do. I think that they have to play decent, just decent. You know, maybe, like hopefully we can get half of what. Well, no, not hopefully. We have to get half of what we got from D. Milner last year. I think we have depth there. We have Patterson, who when he's healthy, I know you're going to get on me about this, but when he's healthy, he's good. We have guys like Rozai Dowling. We have guys like Brandon Dixon who could step up. We have Walls. We have Alex Lankster. So I think we have a lot more depth, and that
Joe, there's no depth. There's nothing. There's no depth. There's no depth on this cornerback right now. I'm sorry, there's none. It's right now we're sitting here and we're playing Russian roulette almost with the quarterback the cornerback position. There's no depth. D. Milner goes down. Who's a good plan B? Dimitri Patterson? Based off of what? What is going to make me excited about Dimitri Patterson? That he can't stay on the field? What's going to make me excited about McDougal? That he can't stay on the field and is coming from a college that definitely doesn't have a high-powered schedule in a pro-style type college atmosphere? I mean, and then who? Kyle Wilson's going to get me excited? A guy who everybody wants to run out of town, whether it's warranted or not? There's no depth for these corners. There's none. I've really have not seen a position like this for the Jets where we're sitting here, we're talking about D. Milner or bust. D. Milner tears his ACL tomorrow. God forbid, knock on wood. You never wish injuries on anybody. But D. Milner goes out for the year with an injury tomorrow. The Jets are going to go crazy because there's nobody left. Who's going to back him up? You're ready to go into the season with Dimitri Patterson and Kyle Wilson at cornerback? It's a joke. And I know people get on me, and I know our own Twitter is getting on me saying, will I ever let go? There's nothing to let go about. It's a matter of...
I think if D. Milner goes down, we trade for a corner, you know, a guy who's been available.
Well, that's great.
Or we can put out there, like... Go ahead.
Right, but again, it's... You're telling me that the cornerbacks have to be decent. I get it. You're right. They don't have to. The Jets are not going to rely on man-to-man coverage like they did in the past when their defensive line was subpar. I get it. You're not going to have a team that's going to have superstars at every position, and you're not going to not have weaknesses. I get it. But the Jets, to me, completely mismanaged the cornerback situation. They did nothing to improve it. They did nothing to add competition. If you're going to tell me getting Patterson and McDougal is making their secondary better, I just don't see it. I don't see two guys who are I don't see question marks making your team better. I see solid guys making your team better. There were solid guys out there. They didn't make the moves. Now we're sitting here. We're stuck. Can this secondary be good enough to win games? That's all that matters. If they are, it's a null point. We're not going to worry about them. But if we're watching teams throw the ball all over the Jets, then we're going to sit here and scratch our heads and say, well, what are we going to do about the cornerback position? Because there's no – like I said, and I'll keep saying it, it's D. Milner or bust. Because nobody else right now can step in and play this position and even be good enough to compete in the secondary.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I do think, though, the Jets have some things going for them, and that's that they're going to be tested real early. After the first game, they've got a real stretch there where they're going against Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. So, like, they're going to be tested early, so any problems that they do have are going to show up early, and maybe they can sign some guys or whatever, and maybe they can try to solve those problems early in the season.
Yeah.
But you know what they also have going for them is that they've, like you mentioned, they've got a strong defensive line, so there's not as much pressure on the corners. And also I've heard the possibility of them using three safety sets. They've got some good safeties, you know, Landry, Pryor, Allen. Those guys seem like starters, all three of those guys. So maybe they go, you know, use some three safety sets,
yeah.
Take some pressure off the corners.
Jeff, you know, I'm not one guy to bash the Jets. I'm not a guy who's
going
to
pass. No, we have three guys who could start in this league. We have a strong defensive line. And like I said a couple weeks ago, I think that, you know, me and Brandon could probably go out there and play better than our corners did last year until, you know, the last 4 weeks because Cromartie was not good at all. And I think it's that if we do struggle, I think John is a smart man. He he might, you know, go trade for a guy like a Jonathan Joseph. So I think if it's that big of a problem, that John Isaac will address it.
You know, I mean, here's the thing, Joe, and Jeff too. Before we let you go, I'm not someone who's going to sit here and bash the Jets. I'm not. I'm a very optimistic Jets fan. I think they have a ton going for them. I think their defensive line is fantastic. Their running game's fantastic. The only question mark that I see in my mind that's making me really, really be in doubt. You know, the quarterback position, obviously a question mark. You don't know what you're going to get out of Geno Smith and how much is he going to improve. But the cornerback situation right now for the Jets is the only thing that makes me jump out of my skin. That's it. I'm very optimistic. They have a lot going for them. I think that, you know, an 8-8 team that they were last year coming into this year, they can be improved and improve that record. But again, with that being said, when we talk specifically about the cornerback situation for the Jets, I think it's a disaster. I really do. And you know, time, the only thing that's going to tell if it gets better or not is not going to be opinions, is not going to be sitting here harping on the fact they didn't bring anybody in from free agency. It's going to be seeing it on the field. It's either going to make or break right in front of our eyes this year, and then we'll can sit here and say, well, you know, they did a good job standing put. Or we'll sit here and say, why wouldn't they go out and bring in somebody to help? Because it's a disaster. And I thank you for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Let's go to first-time caller. Joe, another first-time caller. Josh is calling about the secondary. Go ahead, Josh.
Hi, how's it going?
Fantastic.
I would just like to talk about the secondary a little bit here. I figured that Patterson's been reportedly struggling the last few days. Why not give Kyle Wilson a chance outside? I know he's been decent in the slot the last few years, and he's been solid there, but he's in a contract year. Rex said he's motivated, ready to come in and be a leader. Why not give him that shot, putting him outside, see what he can do? It can't hurt. Nobody else has really taken a step to prove that they should have that second spot on the other side opposite D. Milliner. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that if Kyle Wilson was ready to be a number two corner, that they would have seen that. The only reason I see that as a possibility, even though I really don't think it will happen, is that you could say that he did play along Cromartie when they did have the number two pass defense in the NFL. So I see your point, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think that Kyle Wilson sticks in the slot. I actually think that he's not much better, but I think he's better than a lot of Jets fans give him credit for. I think he's a solid starting slot cornerback. So I think he sticks in the slot, and I think that the Jets are gonna hope that Dimitri Patterson steps up. If not him, you know, they're gonna test out Rozai Dowling in camp and in preseason a lot. They have guys like Darren Wallace who might be able to step up. And like I said before, if they don't step up, and John Isaac really thinks that he needs to address the position before we get to the regular season, I think he goes out and trades for a guy like Jonathan Joseph or maybe a guy who is a cap casualty to another team and that they want to get rid of. So I think Kyle Wilson stays there in the slot, and that's about it. What about you, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, I think so, too. I have to look at it from this point of view. I mean, everybody knows where I stand on the corner position. I mean, it's only going to be a matter of time before we see what happens. It's really it. I'm at a loss for words almost. I think Kyle Wilson can almost step in. Sure. I mean, who else is going to do it? You, Joe, me, you. Who's going to go out and do it? I mean, there's nobody else. I don't know who else is going to do it. Like I said, we can bring Ty Law out of retirement. There's a couple of guys. You know, we can make moves. There's guys who can, you know, come out of the Hall of Fame who we can bring out of retirement. You know, there's tons of people we can go get. Maybe we'll see if Deion Sanders is available or Leon Sandcastle from NFL Network, see if he's eligible to be drafted. I mean, it's whatever we want to do, it's fine. I mean, it's the Jets right now at cornerback can make any type of mixes and matches because outside of D. Milliner, you know, and even with – I would even include D. Milliner. We don't know what we're getting. So time is going to tell to see what they have to do to this secondary. That's the only way I can see it.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I know there is question marks, but the other side of it, I see some potential. I think that
there you go, Joe.
I think that there's a possibility. You know, I'm not too optimistic, but I think there's a possibility that in a month or two, you know, we're looking at this like, oh, thank God, you know, we're solid at the corner spot. And,
I hope so.
We're not worrying.
Really do. I hope so.
Yeah, I do understand your question marks. I do.
Go ahead, Josh.
Hopefully, Copel with losing 20 pounds or so and his being healthy throughout training camp can take some pressure off the CBs back there, because that would help a lot if Copel can start developing his game, maybe not double the sack total, but get more pressure on the QB, help whoever ends up back there, Rozzy, Darren Walls, anybody. I'm really hoping one of our guys can step up. But like you said when you were talking to Jude earlier, that Sean Smith is an intriguing option. He did have a great season with Miami a few years ago, and he looked iffy last year, but, hey, it can't really hurt us. Just bring a guy in if he gets cut at the cutdowns in a few weeks here.
Yeah, I agree with you, Josh. I think that we brought in guys like Jason Babin, who's in a rush to pass around third down. We got Antoine Barnes back, who I thought looked pretty good in the first couple of weeks there until he got injured. But including what you said that Copel's lost 20 pounds, which I heard. I heard he looks faster. I heard he looks smarter. I heard he understands the defense. He's starting to understand his position of outside linebacker. So I know there is questions about the corners, but I don't think it's going to be a huge problem. I think it might be a little bit of a problem, but I think with how stout the rest of our defense is, that it won't be a problem as Brandon thinks over here. But I definitely thank you for the call, Josh, and I hope you call again soon.
Oh, I will. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, anytime, Josh. We always love our first-time callers.
Oh, I plan to keep listening, and I'll call in again.
All right.
Great
sounds
show.
Good. Yeah. We'll definitely call in to give us your take on next week, see how things go Thursday night. We'll talk corners again.
Oh, of course. Sounds good.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Always love the first-time callers here on Jet Nation Radio. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to wrap it up. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. We're about almost 5 minutes left here into the program, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you our expectations. Week one, preseason, football is here. Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media.
Media.
From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. The Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
All right, Joe, we're back off the break, and we have so much to talk about in the final 3 minutes here on Jet Nation Radio. Thanking all the callers out there tonight, and of course, thanking Jerry behind the scenes, taking all our calls. Can't do it without people working behind the scenes, working for us, running the Twitters, running the call lines. Absolutely awesome. Great work, as always. And one thing, too, we want to remind everybody out there, if you love talking Jets and you love calling into the show along with reading up on everything online at JetNation.com, check out the forums. Lots of topics today talking about David Wilson even going down for his career. Lots going on in the forums. Check it out, JetNation.com. You can link up with people on there, give your opinions, talk Jets. Everybody needs more football talk. Check it out, JetNation.com. Take a look at the forums, talk some football. Joe, it's probably too early to start doing prediction and who's going to win and why. Can't wait to do that week one. But, you know, let's start off with expectations. My expectations for this game is for one man and one man only, and that's Geno Smith. How is he going to respond to coming into his second year? Are we going to see immediate improvements? Are we going to see a guy who's going to come out and immediately show you confidence, a confidence boost from last year? All eyes are going to be on the quarterback, as they always are in the National Football League. My eyes and my expectations are for Geno Smith to come out to show signs of progression, even if they're minimal because it's the first preseason game and it's so early. But my expectations, Geno Smith, move the ball. Don't turn the ball over to avoid a meltdown already at MetLife Stadium, and progressively show people that you're getting better. Your expectations, Joe, take it away.
Definitely. I definitely want to see what Geno does. I want to see the new weapons we got, like Chris Johnson, Amaro. You know, maybe he could step up and prove some of the people who are wrong who are saying that he's a bust, which we talked about before, is absolutely ridiculous. But I'm definitely looking at the secondary. We've been talking a lot about the secondary. Who's going to step up? You know, is Patterson going to stay healthy? Is he gonna step up to that number two corner role, since we've heard a lot that he's better in the slot? So we want to see if he's better or he can perform on the outside. I'm definitely excited to see DeMario, like I said before. But for the first game, I heard Rex said that he is going to run the starters into the second, you know, early second. So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see Michael Vick with our first team. Rex said before that Michael Vick is going to get a drive or two with the first team. So I don't expect our offense or defense to throw a whole bunch of different plays out there. You know, I think Marty is going to hold back a little bit with the plays he's calling. But I expect a good game. I'm definitely excited.
You know, Joe, so am I, and me and Joe, Joe and I will actually be in attendance for the game on Thursday, so that's always fun to throw your jerseys on, get excited, and start getting pumped up for football, Joe, right?
All right, definitely. Can't wait. It's going to be fun time.
It's going to be an exciting time. Well, I want to thank everybody out there. Thank Jerry behind the glass. Thank all the callers out there, first-time callers, Chris Lopresti, WFAN, always a pleasure, and I want to thank everybody along there out there on Twitter as well. And we'll be back next week, same time as always, talking about all things Jets here on Jet Nation Radio, especially going to be breaking down what we saw from the you know, what we saw from the first preseason game, what were our expectations are for the next one, who are we going to, you know, have high hopes on right after, right off the bat, and it's going to be definitely going to be interesting to see what happens at MetLife Stadium. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.